Hello, and welcome to the Anti-Racism Daily Podcast. My name is Nicole Cardoza, and this podcast focuses on tangible ways that we can dismantle white supremacy and create a more equitable future for us all. I have been traveling vicariously through documentaries and travel magazines, and I've been inspired by the work of today's guest on our podcast, Lamar, who has been creating virtual destinations for kids of color to be able to see the world from the comfort of their home. Hi, thank you so much for joining me today. I was telling you, I don't know why I hadn't scheduled this conversation sooner to have it on the podcast. So thank you for joining me. Can you introduce yourself to the audience?
Absolutely. My name is Lamar Shambly. I use he, him pronouns. I'm from Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. I am a high school Spanish teacher and the founder and executive director of Teens of Color Abroad. We're a small Black-led social impact organization that provides high school students of color with global language learning opportunities.
Which I am obsessed with. Because I feel like the only reason I wanted to go to college was so I could study abroad. That was my first time on a plane, was when I was in college. And it felt like that would be my pathway to seeing the world. And we know that's not something that's available to everybody. And so how did you start it? Like, what prompted you to start TOCA?
Yeah, I was actually bullied by my former high school students. They're the ones who told me, yo, Mr. Shambly, you should start this organization. And so as one of the few Black male teachers, I took my role very seriously. And so I'm also living, walking testament to the power of having a transformative study abroad experience. And so just to give the listeners a bit of a background, I was a high school Spanish teacher here in Brooklyn, and I loved being able to stand in front of kids that look like me, that come from my same neighborhood, to get them excited about learning languages. As a non-native Spanish speaker, studying Spanish throughout school allowed me to, exactly what you said, travel and start to see the world. And so when I brought that to my students and showed them that what I'm teaching you is not just stuck to these four walls of a classroom. I'm teaching you a skill that's going to allow you to connect with people in your community, allow you to connect with people outside of your community. My students realized that this is a really powerful practice. And so they said, you speak Spanish really well. How did you do it? I said, when I was in college, I studied abroad. It changed my life. You have to do it as well. And they said, well, what about high school study abroad programs? And so I just started doing research on high school study abroad programs and saw that none of the kids in the photos looked anything like my kids and none of the leadership looked like me. So I went back to my students and I said, all right, how many of you are actually interested in a language immersion study abroad experience? We know that travel is important, but how many of you are actually interested in a deeper language immersion? And I saw that 78 out of 80 of them were. And so I saw that data and I said, this is telling me that I need to do something here. And so I brought it up with my students. I said, yo, I have no idea how to start a nonprofit. I have no idea how to start a website. But if this is something that you want, and I know how powerful it is, I'll try my best to figure it out. And so they were like, yeah, go do that. And so I did. I always make this analogy, and I don't know if it's the best, but when I received that feedback from my students, I left teaching full time at that point in June 2018. And it felt like running off of a cliff and trying to assemble a parachute before I crash and burn. For me, I had a lot of faith. I knew that, how important this is, how necessary this is, and how this also addresses a need in education currently. When it comes to language learning, there's a large transatlantic divide when it comes to our students who study languages in middle school and high school compared to students in European schools. Across European countries, over 90% of their students study a foreign language, whereas here in the U.S., it's only about 20%. And, we have the second largest Spanish-speaking population in the world. By 2050, we'll have the largest. And so if our students aren't learning languages, How are we preparing them for this, you know, complex society? And so I just saw this direct need. The process has been, it's been really exciting for me to be able to create these opportunities, but also I've been doing a lot of reflection on my own educational upbringing and honestly undoing a bit of trauma in some places. I was one of the few Black kids in my school. And so that meant that I heard a lot of things in the hallways, whether it was from students or from teachers. And so I wanted to make sure that I create a program where Black and brown kids see themselves centralized, valued, uplifted, like they are the center of everything that we do. I'm just sent on a mission by our students who said, okay, Lamar, this is really cool. We want to do this. And so I've been able to, you know, respond to their feedback to create a program that will keep them inspired during this time. Because this is a really hard time, you know, being a teenager. So,
right. And I also, you know, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, you're taking a bunch of high schoolers right now on a plane to another country in the middle of a global pandemic. And so what I love about your work, you know, I didn't realize that you, you know, left full time in just 2018 to do it. I feel like it's been around for so much longer because of how quickly you shifted your approach, you know, when the pandemic started. And I'd love to hear a bit more about that.
For sure. Yeah. We were able to adapt in a very special way. Before I go into it, I also want to say thank you, because when I came up with this idea about what I wanted to do to adapt, you're one of the first people to believe in me and to support this. So I think TOCA's success has been because of community. That has been our, you know, our crown jewel. Folks have seen what our mission is, what our vision is, and have jumped in and said, I know how important this is and I want to help. And so what we did was, instead of doing an in-person experience, we partnered with an organization named Natakalam, actually met through our fellowship, and they were absolutely incredible. So what we do is we've recruited high school students of color from across the U.S. to take a virtual language learning and cultural exchange program that's taught and led by refugees dispersed throughout the world. And so our students get a total of 10 hours of language training in small groups, but they also get an opportunity to expand their global awareness and to learn a little bit more about what does it mean to be a refugee. As, you know, folks from the United States growing up post 9/11, actually our students have said to us, we think that we are not given a full educational experience from this section of the world, and we think it's because of these reasons. And so during this time, safely at home, kids are learning languages, and they're also participating in cultural exchange workshops where they get to ask refugees, you know, what is it like to have to flee Syria and relocate to Jordan? What was high school like for you in Syria? Do you listen to Beyonce? Like what, you know, but giving them that space to find those connections and to also at the same time undo harmful stereotypes that they have internalized about what does it mean to be a refugee. So that's our flagship program. But since that took off and we received feedback from our students, we've been able to expand our virtual programming to include culinary courses. So we had a few cooking classes where our students learned how to make traditional Syrian shakrias, and also actually through another partnership through our fellowship, we had my friend Juanjo in Lima, Peru. His mom has always wanted to be a cook, and she's also a teacher. And so she hosted a virtual cooking class for our students to learn how to make papa la huancaina, which is a traditional Peruvian dish. She had note cards in every item, and she did it entirely in Spanish. So our students are practicing their language, but also doing something hands-on at home and being able to make food for their families. And so we just didn't want to rush to have an in-person experience and put students' health at risk. And so we've adapted to a virtual space and reaching students from across the country.
I'm like getting teary-eyed over here because I'm thinking, you know, with everything that's happening this week, all the news around police brutality, I can feel. And even reflecting on, you know, my upbringing, the world can feel so small and limiting and, you know, almost suffocating in a way. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be a high schooler, to be able to like hop into a Zoom and then be transported halfway around the world. So gosh, just thank you so much, because I think we need to create those spaces. You named too something we've talked a lot about in our content here at the Anti-Racism Daily, is how much our curriculum, public education curriculum, limits that, you know, it limits that kind of global awareness. So thank you. It's just so inspiring to hear. And also, like, can I come?
Yeah. So we have this TOCA online language learning program. We have collabs where we have these culinary experiences for students. We also have something called Fresh Fridays. So for me, when I was in high school, I'm showing my age here, but MIA came out with Arular, but this was 2002, 2003. And I remember that blowing my mind, because I had grown up listening to hip hop, rap, reggae. And all of a sudden, this brown woman stormed the scene and was rapping about Sri Lanka and Tamil tigers. And I didn't know about that part of the world. But because I was interested in the music that she was sampling, I started doing research. Like, where is Sri Lanka? What are the Tamil tigers? Why is MIA so controversial? And just sort of like expanding what I know about the world. And that was through music. And so we know that music is an excellent avenue for cultural discovery for students, right? I mean, I think you and I know, when was this, back in the mid-2000s when Timbaland and everybody was like sampling all those Middle Eastern sounds. We're like, where is this coming from? What part of the world is this coming from? And so we're doing that virtually. And so once a month, we have a DJ host a 2-hour set of music from across the world, and to talk about how that music, you know, from the past relates to current music that you hear now. So during Black History Month, we had DJ Q talk about like traditional Senegalese music and where it started. And then after the transatlantic slave trade, how you can hear some of these sounds in current day baile funk in Brazil. And so it's a little nerdy and a little anthropological, but music is an excellent way just to get kids, you know, everyone, you know, hearing different sounds and to find those connections.
That's incredible. I can also imagine there's like so much like co-learning too. You know, you talked about that, having, you know, refugees teaching high schoolers that are around the same age, right?
Correct. Yeah. Our students are between 13 and 18. So they're 15, 16 years old.
It's amazing. And then they can also help and learn from each other, I can imagine too, right?
Yeah. During this time when kids are stuck at home, they're like starting to follow each other on Instagram. They're sharing opportunities with each other. And also what we're seeing is our teachers, they love learning from our students as well. And so this is something I was telling you about before we started recording. I literally get to speak inspiration into Black and brown kids to say, yo, you have something that the world wants to know about as well. So understand that your perspective and your experience is valuable. And I think it's really powerful for kids to hear that at an early age.
Yeah. Yeah, and have a space to be able to like receive it and then speak it and speak their truth back too. I also can imagine, as you're doing all of this, you're also teaching full time.
Yeah. Again.
So you're casually running this incredible social impact organization with a full time job. Let's talk about that a little bit.
This is going to become like a therapy session for me. No, it's definitely a lot. When it came to the beginning of this school year and thinking about whether or not to go back to the classroom, I was just thinking how hard it must be to be a student right now and to try to figure out this virtual learning space. They are thrust into this world that essentially adults have created. And so I thought it would be really powerful to make learning fun for students during this time, bring the world to them while they're stuck at home. And so I was very apprehensive to teach full time this year. And I'm so glad that I did, because it reminded me of why I'm doing this work in the first place. And it reminded me why I became a teacher in the first place. I don't mean to brag, Nicole, But like, I'm a very cool teacher. And so
you should brag.
Oh yeah, nah. Okay. I'm gonna, you know what? You're right. I'm gonna go ahead and brag. I'm a very cool teacher, but especially I wanted to create a learning environment that I wanted when I was in high school that I didn't have. Again, as one of the few Black kids in my school, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of teachers that looked like me or that made a learning space fun and engaging and culturally competent. And so I knew that I could do that for our students. Sometimes I feel like LeVar Burton from Reading Rainbow, but in Spanish, like Sábado Gigante host. It's like this weird collection, but the kids are really appreciating it. We're playing a lot of music, so I'm getting my students into that. Playing a lot of Kahoot, kids love that. But it's been just a really fun experience. I also get to connect with their families in a way that I didn't before. Not too many parents, unfortunately, can come to a parent-teacher conference after work. And so I get parents who drop in just on camera. I get to see students with pets, you know, and cats walk by the screen and they grab their cats and they're holding onto them. I'm like, I never would have imagined you as a cat person. And I get to also meet like younger siblings. So I really appreciate that aspect of virtual learning. It's really allowed me to connect with my students and their families in a way that I hadn't before. But balancing teaching full-time and TOCA is definitely, you know, a challenge. And I'm thankful that I have a board that has jumped in and has decided to be operational and support what we're doing. That has been a huge help. And also, again, community has jumped in. Folks have said, how can I support you with TOCA? Give me the guidelines and we can make this happen. So it's really been all hands on deck.
Yeah. I remember when I went to your fundraiser, oh gosh, it feels like forever ago, right? Pre-pandemic, when we could do that and be together in Williamsburg.
And we were at Kinfolk, RIP Kinfolk.
I know. I was going to say it and I was like, I don't know if I can handle it.
Yeah.
But RIP Kinfolk. But what I loved was being in community with so many people. I don't think I knew anybody there other than maybe a summit person or two. But I talked to so many people about that unifying idea of being able to have our worldview expanded at some point in our lives, right? I think that this is a very you know, sacred practice, especially for so many Black people, to be able to kind of like reclaim a global perspective, right? When so many of us have had parts of our global identity taken away, right? I just loved that. I loved hearing people's experiences of how they got lost in strange cities or, you know, and it takes a level of privilege to have those opportunities. And so, for what you said with community, that resonated with me is how many of us were there and talking about, you know, our first times traveling abroad and then also making sure that these opportunities were available and accessible for kids.
Yeah. So. I couldn't have said that any better. One of the reasons why I felt comfortable, quote unquote, jumping off of that cliff and going full time into this was because I know the community that I have around me, and I'm incredibly thankful to them. And so I knew that this passion and this mission resonated with folks that were around me. And so I knew that this would take flight and I wouldn't crash on the ground below. It's been scary a few times. You know, I've hit turbulence, but the silver lining to just this time right now is it's really great to be able to provide this for students across the country during this time. And so, you know, it's just been a wonderful practice of, you know, things just lighting the path right in front of me and allowing us to impact so many students.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, where people are getting vaccinated. I think we're at like 30% of the population is vaccinated right now. You're seeing people start to plan these summer trips. What do you think travel will look like in the future? Like, are you starting to think about physical trips again?
Yeah, great question. I struggle with the idea of doing that right now and what that looks like as a Black-led organization, especially an organization that's dedicated to our community, knowing that our community has been directly impacted by this virus. So I am in zero rush to put anybody's babies at risk, because you know, we're not interested in doing that right now. And also, this is an excellent time for us to think about our reach and the students that we're able to include in these experiences. We see that this is something that could absolutely run parallel with an in-person experience. And the really dope thing about having this robust suite of virtual programs is that we're also able to include students who aren't able to physically leave home, travel to the airport, get on a plane, and go to another part of the world. We have students that we absolutely need to think about that are differently abled. And so they also deserve an international experience. And so what we see with what we're doing online is we're able to reach students in rural Georgia, rural Alabama, and also able to, as I said, provide this experience for students who physically can't study abroad, at least at the moment.
Absolutely. And thank you for naming the disproportionate impact. I think that sometimes gets lost in these conversations around traveling and going back, quote unquote, to normal. And what an incredible thing, too. I mean, when I first heard about TOCA, it wasn't necessarily going to be a national, global organization of students, right? It was like getting kids that you work with in your local community out in the world. So I just got all excited about like thinking about this as like this huge, you know, global classroom.
Yeah. It has been also just mind-blowing to realize how wide the internet is, that I could post something online and that a student from rural Alabama can find this application and that we're able to support them. But exactly what you said, when I started this, the idea was to start with the students from my local community, students and families who know me. And so now that we're able to do this virtually, I've been able to support, you know, so many students from across the country. We've been able to support so many students, specifically one student that comes to mind. This is a young man in DC. I've never met him, but because he had this TOCA online experience, he reached out to me and said, yo, this is what I want to do when I go to college. I want to travel. I want to learn languages. And so I'm applying to college. Could you write my college recommendation letter? And I was like, first off, I'm so glad you know that I'm the person that would write your recommendation letter, but absolutely, I would love to do it. It would be a privilege for me. And 2 weeks ago, he messaged me and was like, so I got a full ride to the school. And in my interview, they spoke about this TOCA online program because they haven't heard of it before. This type of thing doesn't exist. And so this young man got a full ride to college. And after I cried my eyes out just of like sheer joy to be able to do this, I'm like, this is so just special. The word I keep landing on is special, that we can be able to do this for kids during this time. So
I would love to hear like what you envision in the future, you know, as this organization continues to grow and scale and impact more kids, because that's inevitable. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's already been chosen, right? For it, whether you like it or not. Right? Like, I feel like correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like that this is just where it's going.
Yeah, if we were to talk a year ago, Nicole, everything that I'm telling you about this virtual experience, it was not a thing. We were able to create this in less than a year. And so who knows what's going to happen in the next few years. I eventually would love to get back to doing an in-person experience. I think one of the keys of education, and if there are any teachers or folks in education that are listening to this podcast, is listen to the students. You know, it was our students who gave us the inspiration to have these additional experiences online. But down in the future, we'd definitely love to do an in-person experience with students. Our plan is that they will, you know, take triple the amount of Spanish that they do here in the States, live with a homestay family, to have that deep cultural immersion, travel to museums, flamenco dance lessons, paella cooking classes done entirely in Spanish. And I think that when you plant that seed in students now while they're in high school, that they'll travel into college and want to continue to have that international experience. And so what we see down in the future is that we're creating a generation of globally conscious students who are excited about the world, excited about connecting cross-culturally, especially as it pertains to language. Language is the center of everything that we're doing, because we know that language is that entry point to global citizenship, right? You start learning Spanish and then you go to another country and really practice and use that Spanish, make mistakes, say the wrong verb when you meant to say something else and trip through that, but then build a connection cross-culturally through language.
I am just so excited. I know that there's a lot of educators that are listening, because I know there's so many that are, you know, committed to, you know, reading the newsletter and introducing new topics into their classroom. Any specific recommendations for them to encourage their students to keep, you know, learning new languages, learning new cultures and ideas?
Yeah, definitely. I think a great place to start would be to sign up to the mailing list for Teens of Color Abroad. I think that would be an excellent place to start. We're actually getting ready to start recruiting for our summer program. And also, I wanted to say that for these virtual programs, this is zero cost to our students and their families. We see that is, we are not interested in taking people's money right now. We think that it's really powerful, especially during this time, to expand students' global awareness and also to build solidarity. And we want students to see what's happening here in the States in government, what they're seeing happening with police, and start to build connections with what's happening in other parts of the world.
For me, this is one of I find your organization so essential, and definitely where I want to continue to keep paying forward the opportunities that I've had. How can people support?
Yeah, definitely. So you can check us out at teensofcolorabroad.org. Also, I joke, I'm a millennial. I grew up in the chat rooms. So our social media is pretty poppin'. It's like what we grew up on. But definitely follow us on Instagram at Teens of Color Abroad. That's where we're very active. And on Twitter at TOCA World, that's Toca World. But definitely check out our website. And we are constantly, you know, looking for new students. So if you are in community with teens of color who are interested in learning languages and learning about different parts of the world, definitely send them our way.
Amazing. Now, one last question. What is bringing you joy right now?
What is bringing me joy right now? Music. I think that there has been some really great music that has come out. I have played so much Ravina over the past year that she has really soothed my anxieties. I listen to headaches when I'm having a headache, and she just like, it's been amazing. So I'm really thankful to musicians right now that have, you know, kept us afloat during this time.
Amazing. Amazing. This conversation left me with so much hope for our future generations. And also, I'm filled with the nostalgia about my first time getting on a plane and seeing a new part of this planet that we live on. And I hope you feel the same. If you'd like to learn more about Lamar and his work, you can go to teensofcolorabroad.org or follow their work on Instagram at teensofcolorabroad. You can subscribe to the Anti-Racism Daily podcast by searching Anti-Racism Daily on all of your favorite podcast networks. To subscribe to our free daily newsletter, you can go to antiracismdaily.com and you'll receive daily tactical actions to dismantle white supremacy. This podcast was produced by me, Nicole Cardoza. This episode was edited by Mallory Chang. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you again soon.